Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The death of Jesus changes everything. The death of Jesus puts away the old enmity. A man's enemies become members of his own house. Pilate and Herod are changed by their encounter with Jesus. For previously, they'd been enemies with one another. It's not hard to imagine what that enmity, what might it have been? Pilate, the Roman governor, Herod Antipas, the quarter king of Judea, puppet, but still under the authority of Rome, answerable to Pilate. It's very easy to see where that conflict would have come from. Why they would have hated each other, why Herod would have resented Pilate, and why Pilate would have gotten annoyed having to deal with Herod, and why they couldn't just govern Judea like they did the rest of the world. But that all changes. That all changes with their encounter with Jesus. Their hatred, their hostility, their enmity with one another is done away with, and they become friends. Now, certainly we have traditions in the church that suggest that Pilate eventually becomes a Christian. I'm not suggesting that they are converted. We don't think, definitely not Herod. We have some traditions that suggest perhaps Pilate was. But they are changed, and they are changed for the better. That they have become friends. How much more so is it then for us, to whom the Spirit calls to faith in the crucified one? When he puts away in us the old division of sin, when he puts away the old enmity of Satan, that enmity which has festered in us since the days of our first temptation and our first fall, which we ourselves have gladly added to daily, and not just daily, but multiple times a day ever since. What reasons do we find, what excuses do we find to hate and to despise the guy that lives next door, our brothers and sisters according to the flesh, even our brothers and sisters in Christ? Look how they've done me wrong. Look what I deserve instead. Look what recompense should come to me. And yet, what do the Scriptures say? The recompense is with him who has trod the winepress, the one whose garments are spattered with blood, the one who has risen up to redeem his people. He brings his reward. He brings his recompense. And it's not vengeance. It's not equality. One of the most beloved virtues of the modern era. Our Lord Jesus does not come to bring equality. At least not what men call equality. No, our Lord Jesus comes to bring reconciliation, to put away the divisions of sin, death, and the devil. Our Lord Jesus comes that he might offer up his body to the smiters, his back to the flogging, his cheeks to those who pull out the beard. We heard the other night from the prophet Isaiah that we, sinful and unclean, we, poor, miserable sinners, playthings of the devil, who are more often than not his happy and willing accomplices, that we would be reconciled to the Father, that we who are sinful and unclean would now be called rather children and heirs of the kingdom, because in his death, By the piercing of his body and the shedding of his blood, the old enmity is put away, is done away with forever. It is trampled underfoot like wine in the grapes in the winepress. It is trampled underfoot like the old satanic foe whose head is crushed even as his heel is pierced with Roman iron. It is crushed and left in the dust of the grave. But not Jesus. Joseph's borrowed tomb is just that. It's borrowed. It's temporary. There is no body. There are no bones in a museum to go see that says, these are the bones of Jesus of Nazareth, because they are not there. Because the one who tread in the winepress, the one who has trampled Satan underfoot, is risen from the dead, bodily, physically, in his own flesh, to usher us into his everlasting kingdom. We heard a few Wednesdays ago the request of the mother of James and John that our Lord Jesus would grant that these two sons of hers would be permitted in his kingdom to sit at his right and at his left hand. And Jesus says, you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized, and you will drink the cup of which I drink. Namely, you will suffer and you will die on my account. You will be named with my name. You will drink my blood for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. But to sit at my right and at my left in my kingdom is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And here they are, on Golgotha outside the walls of Jerusalem, named according to the tradition of the church, Gesmus and Dismas. Dismas being the one on the right who rebukes his companion, who confesses his sin and his faith in Christ. And this man who had lived such a wretched, evil life, who had murdered, who probably was one of the compatriots of Barabbas taking part in this insurrection, because you're not crucified just for being a pickpocket or a thief breaking and entering. This is reserved for the worst of the worst. They're probably supposed to be nailed up there with Barabbas. But Barabbas goes free, as though he'd done no wrong, as Jesus takes his place. And Dismas, confessing his sin and confessing his trust in Christ, is changed. No longer a terrorist, no longer a miserable, wretched sinner receiving the just reward for his evil deeds. He himself is now an heir and child of heaven by virtue of Jesus. And so as Jesus does for these people that he comes into contact with through his passion, so he does for us. He changes us by putting his name upon us in baptism, by feeding us with his body and blood. We are changed. No longer sinners, no longer wretched sinners, but children and heirs. The enmity of sin, death, and the grave put away. For the devil's head is crushed, and we are ushered into paradise by virtue of the death of Jesus Christ, by virtue of the wood of his cross, by which he sacrifices himself for us to his Father in heaven. His reward and recompense are with him, and he now pours them out for us in his means of grace, in his word, in baptism, absolution, and in the Holy Communion. We receive, though we do not deserve it, though what we do deserve are the just rewards of our evil deeds, what we do receive instead are the rewards and recompense of him who has tread the winepress alone, as he forgives our sins, as he puts away the old enmity, as he makes enemies, as he makes those who are separated and distinct from one another, as he makes them and knits them into a family, born not of blood, at least not the blood and will of flesh, but born of his blood, knit together in his name, this holy Christian church, so that a man's enemies are now in Christ members of his own house. Those who were at enmity with one another before are in Christ become brothers and sisters and friends, because sins are forgiven. And our Lord Jesus has changed us by his death, by his resurrection, that we may receive the kingdom prepared for us before the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.